The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Our election topic for debate today is the so-called urban-rural divide. How real is it? Is it imagined? If it is real, what can be done to alleviate it? We have four people with us. We have a Fianna Fáil deputy leader, Dara Cailleary from Mayo. We have Marian Harkin, former MEP, who is now an independent candidate in the Sligo Leitrim constituency. We have another independent from Kerry, Michael Healy-Ray. And we have in studio Martin Hayden, who is Fine Gael TD for Kildare South. Now, I know what you're going to tell me, Martin, given my base, what I've heard you and others tell me over the last couple of years on the TV show. You know, that rural Ireland isn't suffering from decay or decline, that there's about 250,000 extra people living in rural Ireland compared to 20 years ago. But isn't that skewed a long way by the fact that there's an awful lot of people living in your constituency of Kildare, places like Meath and Laois, classified as rural, but who are actually have become part of this Dublin commuter belt because they can't afford to live in Dublin?
Oh, well, there's plenty of people in Kildare, Meath and Wicklow as well, who live in rural one-off houses, and they're as rural can be. You don't need to live on the side of a hill in Kerry to be rural, and an awful lot of people identify as rural. So, you know, rural Ireland is thriving and growing, and it's not dying like some would like to say. You know, there's 1.75 million people identify as living in rural areas now compared to 1.5 million 20 years
ago. But they don't seem very happy. They seem very put upon. And I know certainly from all the text messages that we get on a regular basis to this programme since you came into power, or this government came into power 4 years ago, a feeling of neglect, that all of the jobs are concentrated in big urban areas like Dublin, that when there's talk of major investment in infrastructure such as public transport, it's all for the big urban areas and people in rural areas are forgotten.
Well, that isn't the case. And Project Ireland 2040 is our plan to where we're increasing our spend on infrastructure by over 25% in key projects like the Atlantic Corridor, linking Cork, Kerry, Limerick, up to Galway and Sligo are key parts of that. In terms of jobs, you look at the IDA, they've reached every target that they set in their 2015 to 2019 strategy.
If you look targets at, for regional disbursement of the jobs or for the overall total coming into Ireland? Because every announcement seems to be in for the major cities.
But it isn't. 57% of all IDA supported roles are located outside of Dublin. If you look at Enterprise Ireland's jobs, and 221,000 of them in 2019, people employed in Enterprise Ireland companies, 65% of that total employment is outside of Dublin, and 66% of the new jobs created by EI is outside of Dublin as well. We've seen balanced region development across all of the regions, and the increase in employment is across all the regions.
Marian Harkin, would you accept that there has been a growth of employment in rural areas despite some of the complaints that there hasn't?
Well, it's not just whether I accept it or not, it's to look at the figures. And Martin has said there has been balanced regional development in all regions, and he spoke about Enterprise Ireland jobs. Well, I just have some figures here in front of me. I'm in Carrick and Shannon at the moment, and I see that in the last 9 years, Enterprise Ireland jobs in Leitrim have dropped by 50%, in Donegal and Roscommon, 40%, in Sligo by one third. And I'm talking about drops. Now, IDA is better. Leitrim is just down 18%, etc. It's like it was no change. But the point I'm making is that the figures do not bear out what he is saying. And if you look at the growth, and I mean GDP growth, which is some indication, it's not a total indication, but it's some indication of how regions are performing. And in the last 9 years, the most recent figures, what we see is the state, not Dublin, the state increased by about 46%. But areas like the border, down 8%. The northwest, down 2%. So there is not a balance of development between the regions. And, you know, we've had the SEDRA report, and before that we had the spatial strategy. But the statistics for the last 20 years do not indicate the gap is closing, and it gives me no joy to say that. And I suppose, finally, to be fair to Martin Hayden, their plans for 2040 do contain some very positive stuff. I won't deny that. But the question always is, will it be delivered? And experience up to now has shown us that it isn't.
Dara Cleary of Fianna Fáil, people in Mayo can hardly complain when you've got the likes of Allergan creating so many jobs, a new €200 million road planned between Westport and Castlebar. Certainly, whatever, maybe it was because of the fact that Enda Kenny was previously Taoiseach. Michael Ring is there as a local minister. But has Mayo been in any way neglected, do you think, in relation to dishing out of the goodies by the state?
Absolutely, Matt. Like, we welcome investment. And as you said, Aragon are here. We also have Coke here in Ballina, Hollister, Baxter, a range of companies providing very important employment opportunities. And they are giving opportunities to Mayo people to work here. There are many other Mayo people who would love that opportunity to come home. And what we need is continued investment. We've shown in Mayo that by locating that kind of industry here, we deliver. We deliver some of the leading healthcare products in the world. We deliver some of the leading food products in the world. And we can do it from the Atlantic corridor.
And would you give credit to Fine Gael for 9 years and government for helping of all of that?
No, because we've only had about 2 job announcements in the county in that 9 years. The announcement of the road project came at the very end of this government, even though they've been here for 9 years. And they've missed out on opportunities such as developing Ireland West Airport Knock and developing the zone around it. Martin mentioned the Atlantic Economic Corridor, and that is essential. But we have the government long fingering the Western Rail Corridor, which is a crucial part of the artery of the Atlantic Economic Corridor. And just to throw some more figures, yes, there was substantial job creation, Matt. In 2018, there were 50,000 jobs created. They're welcome. 70% of those were in the Greater Dublin area. And what's that doing? It's not just a rural issue that we're discussing here, Matt. Regional balance will reduce rents. Regional balance will reduce commuting distances. When you're creating 70% of new jobs in one area, you're increasing rents, you're increasing commuter distances, you're ruining people's quality of life. Investment in the regions improves quality of life. It decreases the kind of commutes that people are currently experiencing and listening to this programme, and it gives opportunities to communities to rebuild and regrow.
Okay, Michael Healy-Ray, I presume there must have been loads of jobs gone into Kerry over the last number of years, because what's the point in having you lobbying for Kerry all the time?
Well, I suppose, first of all, there's an awful lot of people choking this evening when they heard Martin Hayden coming out with that statement that rural Ireland is thriving, because nothing could be further from the truth. We have many areas in the constituency that I represent that we don't even have a proper, don't mind about broadband service, but in many areas we don't have proper mobile phone coverage. We don't have essential services, and there is definitely a rural-urban divide.
What sort of essential services do you mean?
But can I just finish this statement? This government has been anti-rural in an awful lot of the decisions that Martin and the people that he supported in government and their partners, they certainly have hurt rural Ireland.
Okay, yeah, but hang on, those are big empty statements. Give me examples of public services that you believe you are denied.
Well, let me start to give you some of the examples. Many of our smaller communities are struggling to keep a GP in their localities. And if you lose a GP from your locality, you know how serious a loss of that service is. We've lost post offices because of decisions taken by this government. We have lost many of our small rural pubs and shops, indeed, because of decisions taken by this government. We don't have a proper rural broadband service, despite the fact that we were offered it, we were promised it, we were told it was coming, and it was like the never-never. It never came to us in the way it was promised us. And this government has been full of rhetoric and empty promises. They've closed Garda stations, and they have hurt our rural communities beyond belief. And there has been a decision after decision. Even if you take something as simple as small businesses, for instance, we have people in this county who run health food shops. And what did the government come along? They had total disregard for the employment these shops were creating. And what did they do? Raised the tax and raised the cost of those health food supplements. And what did the Taoiseach say in jury debate when he was answering me when I was attacking him about it? He accused them of being purveyors of snake oil. So this is how distant this government has become.
Okay, let me put that to Martin Hayden. No, you've made your comment. We're trying to get everybody in here, Michael.
He was going to stop eating meat. What sort of an attack is that on rural Ireland? A Taoiseach that said he'd stop eating meat or to
I don't think eating meat is compulsory for anyone, Michael. It's a matter of individual choice as to whether somebody for their own health reasons wants to eat meat. But I want to put that to Martin Hayden. The fact that you are now being blamed by Michael Hughley-Ray for the closure of post offices, pubs, shops, not having enough doctors in rural locations, a whole litany of faults and failings.
I think the biggest attack we have on rural Ireland is opposition politicians talking down rural Ireland to try and further their own political aims. From a hurler on the ditch who had an opportunity to get involved in policy making and decided to stay outside of that. I won't be lectured by Michael Hughley-Ray in regard to that. When we see the challenges that we face in rural Ireland, at the point I'm making about our rural Ireland being thriving in terms of population, we do face challenges. But there are more people there than there was before and they're living their lives differently. That doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing, but government's job is not to change and not to force people to live as they always lived, but is to roll and adapt with that. So when we see people use their post offices less, and when my local post office closed, nobody said to me, where am I going to buy my stamps? They said, where am I going to meet my neighbours? Where am I going to have the focal point of the community? And our town and village renewal scheme, through €210 million worth of investment, sees investment into those communities that have built community shops, community cafes across a range of areas that I'm familiar with that have now become the focal point of the community. We're on about what Fine Gael are doing is empowering rural communities, a true rural regeneration, and the €1 billion that we're investing in into those rural communities.
Okay, Marion Harkin, you're a former member of the European Parliament, so you're familiar with the way that many of the problems we talk about in Ireland are replicated across many countries of the European Union. Is it possible for isolated rural areas to deliver the full panoply of services that have been demanded by Michael Hughley-Ray?
Well, first of all, the settlement patterns in Ireland are quite different to many other European countries, France, the UK, etc. And the question, it's a reasonable question, can we deliver all of those services to people locally? And the number of times, Matt, that people have accused me of saying, oh, you want a DART system between Sligo and Tubber Curry, or you want a hospital at every crossroads. No, we don't. But we do want reasonable access to services. People know that they can't have everything. And Michael Hughley-Ray mentioned rural doctors. I mean, as far as I know, in the lifetime of the next government, if it's any length at all, about 40% of the doctors in Leitrim will have reached retiring age, unless there are special incentives put in there. One of the most basic services, access to your GP, that will disappear. And yes, there are gaps in service provision. And I think sometimes, to be fair, people accept that they can't have everything at their front door. And they're not unreasonable. I was in Ballintra on Saturday, small town, South Donegal, and I was canvassing, and I was walking up the street looking out for my brother, and he went flying by me in the car, and I said to the lady on the street, oh, I said, there's my brother, he missed me, and she smiled, and she said, well, she said, I hope you're not waiting on a bus. So it's not that we need everything, and we need it beside us, but we need some sense that there are reasonable access to services in rural Ireland. And if they're just being hollowed out. And also, Matt, as I said, I'm in Carrick and Shannon, a couple of miles outside the town here, particularly South Leitrim, but North Leitrim as well, communities are being hollowed out when you look at the encroachment of significant areas of a forest station. And the problem is that farmers can't compete for the land for farming because the grant aid and the fact that it's tax-free mean that it's a better problem.
Okay. Derek Cleary, though, I want to go back to Derek Cleary. Is it not the case, though, that, again, international trends and what we need to do in Ireland is that instead of having isolated one-off housing, that the future is, for environmental reasons and economic reasons, that people actually have to cluster in towns and villages in rural Ireland, create greater density, and that way then you can justify the location of a GP, having your primary school, keep the GAA clubs active if you have people living closer together rather than being spread out around the countryside?
Well, you can have sustainable communities in rural areas, Matt. We don't have to pile everyone into towns. And even as we are, the CSO figures show that the average distance for services in rural areas, so for instance, for a GP, a pharmacy or a shop, is 7 times longer than in urban areas. If families who have long traditions and long roots in communities want to stay in the community, we surely can allow them to stay in their community and sustain the services, sustain the local club. And, you know, there are basic services you cannot let go. So, for instance, the GP services, and Marion is right, we have similar figures in Mayo, but and the HSE are advertising for GPs for communities, and they are regularly getting zero applicants. And, you know, 15, 20 years ago, Matt, you would have had a huge list of applicants for GP positions. But because we have not put a rural allowance in place, a rural GP allowance, and secondly, because of the HSE's lack of thinking outside the box in terms of out-of-hour services, younger GPs will not apply for what is a 7-day-a-week job. We need to put a threshold in place that there's a minimum level of services around healthcare, around basic healthcare, primary healthcare, around education. And I think if you have a minimum level of services, people will stay, people will make the commitment to win. At the moment, we have a vicious circle. People are leaving, services are leaving. And if you can keep the services, I've absolutely no doubt that people will make the commitment to live and integrate into rural areas.
Okay, Michael Healy-Ray, there's an awful lot said about the provision of public transport for rural Ireland, but realistically, what actually can be delivered? I mean, surely we can't be putting in special bus services to run two people to the pub on a Thursday night just because a couple of people want that.
No, but you see, and it, you come back there, and you mention a bus service, and in the same breath, you mention a pub. There's an awful lot more to rural living than just the pub. You have other activities that people want to engage in. It could be going to a community centre. It could be going to play cards, it could be going to an event in a local centre where people are getting together for a meal or for a local bingo. And like what we want in the areas that I represent, it's just basic fairness. And for the life of me, I can't understand whether it's the fact that they have been in power for 9 years or what. I can't understand why some of the senior government ministers really seem to have insulated themselves in a bubble. Because if you come back to, and you can't beat examples. For instance, I don't know, you should know the area of Milltown. Milltown is a lovely community, a very fast and growing community where we have many, many hundreds of houses, young couples living there. And at the same time, a GP cannot see a future to, you know, providing a service there. And we're struggling at present to ensure that we can have a GP going into the future there. That's totally wrong. I mean, areas like that, Ballon, Sneem, Waterville, Ballinskillings, we've always had, in dark, poorer times, we had a local GP. And for the life of me, I can't understand.
Okay, well, Martin Hayden, let's put that to Martin Hayden, because this does, you know, because this does seem to be a major issue for
community hospitals.
Okay, GPs, we'll get to community hospitals maybe for time, but the provision of local GPs, how is Fine Gael, if you are returned to power, going to address something which hasn't been addressed in recent years?
So you have the new GP contract and the increase in the rural allowance for rural GPs. But we all acknowledge, as our population gets older and gets bigger, we have to change the model and how we run our healthcare system. And that's what Sláintecare is all designed for. We've seen the delivery under Fine Gael of 110 primary care centres the length and breadth of this country. We would deliver another 80 more onto that. And ultimately, what we want to see... What we want to see is, you know, whether it's Dara, Marion or Michael, we all have constituents who have to travel to large urban, long distances to large urban areas for scans and for scopes. So much more of that activity can be done in the community, and that we keep our acute hospitals for those who are the most sick.
Dara, clearly, what's your response to that?
Look, I mean, firstly, primary care centres are fine, but we can't get the people to staff them, and the new GP contract still isn't working. Secondly, Matt, I just want to come back in terms of travel into centres for scans, etc. The National Transport Authority do not recognise the need. So, for instance, we've had bus services withdrawn from East Mayo, which would have got people directly into University Hospital Galway for those kind of scans, those kind of tests. Now people are forced to take 2 or 3 bus connections. They're choosing, maybe in some cases, not to take that test. So there's a lack of...
But sorry, Dara, you know that type of thing happens in urban areas as well, that you can be in certain parts of, say, Dublin and you might have to take two or three buses to get where you need to go to get a hospital test.
You have a connected service, Matt, and if you're travelling 10 miles across the city, there's connected bus services. You're talking about travelling 100 miles. If you're travelling from Balmoral or Blacksaw to Galway, you're talking about a two and a half hour journey. A journey that for acute conditions is undertaken by a helicopter ambulance, a service which is under threat because of the lack of investment in our defence forces. So there is a complete silo way of thinking at permanent government level around services that is impacting on rural life. And just to come back, you know, Martin and the government are very good at heralding the funds, the Rural Regeneration and Development Fund. They say there's €1 billion committed to it. There's only been €31 million drawn down on that fund in the last 2 years. Similarly, the Town and Village Renewal Scheme, Martin mentioned a figure of €250 million there. Again, we only have a drawdown of €15 million so far. These funds and these announcements, Matt, have been complicated so much and surrounded with red tape that many communities are unable to access them. And secondly, the cuts to core funding to our local authorities, to our county councils, who are expected to be the funding partners in all of these funds, has ensured that they do not have the resources to be that co-funder. And these projects are being promised. These projects are being announced with great fanfare, but they are taking 3, 4, and 5 years
briefly,
to deliver.
Martin Hayden, to respond.
They are being delivered. The local authority has a key role to play with that, and I feel it is right that they're at the heart of that. We've seen €148 million of the €1 billion allocated already. It's those projects in my constituency and Dara's and others are under construction. They're ongoing.
I can allocate the 500,000 lotto jackpot tonight. Unless I win it, it's no good.
Okay.
You're not allowing communities to draw down the money. You know, you
of
make
course
big
we are.
Announcements. They're not spending.
You have to have
no,
your plans.
No, I need to move on
you
to the time we have. And I want to go back to Marion Harkin, because an awful lot has been spoken about broadband in the last couple of years and about the government's plan for €3 billion investment in this. But how significant an issue are you finding the provision of broadband really to be with your potential constituents?
Well, Matt, it's hugely significant. I mean, we are part of a digital society. You know, you were asking about comparing us with Europe. Look across Europe. Look at the access to broadband in rural and urban areas. It is seen as an absolute essential for the way we live our lives. And furthermore, it's an absolute essential for innovation, for creating new jobs. And if we don't have that, then the gap that's there already will widen, because we will not be part of the digital society. Now again, and I'm not here just to throw punches wildly around the place, the government have committed to the rollout. But what we have to make sure is that it's delivered and that it's not another promise that's pushed further back and pushed further back. So we absolutely need it. And can I say just one other thing? One thing we haven't mentioned, and is a central part of rural living, and that's agriculture and the crisis.
Well, we're doing a special on agriculture on the programme tomorrow. We decided with another panel of guests on tomorrow's programme this week, we are going to look into agriculture.
I'll just say one sentence then. It's crucial to remember how agriculture underpins the entire rural economy, and it sustains villages, towns, small towns, big towns, etc. And if there's a crisis in agriculture, there's a crisis in rural Ireland.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much to all of our contributors. We had on the phone there Marion Harkin, Michael Healy-Ray and Dara Cleary in studio here in Dublin, Martin Hayden. And as I said, on tomorrow evening's programme, we're going to be focusing on the challenges facing agriculture in rural Ireland as our big election debate.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.